You know, some of us will be with family or friends tonight on this New Year's Eve. Some of us will be on our own. Still, for others, New Year's can be a very lonely time. And that got reporter Anna Sale thinking about the way we live today. More than a quarter of American households are home to just one person. That's 33.2 million people who are living alone. And that number has tripled since 1970.
Cooking the things I want to eat, playing the music that only I enjoy listening to.
Dancing around my living room to R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Countless minutes of no interruptions.
I usually have the windows open because I like the fresh air.
Nobody to tell me not to sleep in the middle of my queen-size bed.
Books stacked in a certain way on my shelf.
It is definitely a freedom that I've not had ever.
Those are voices from the latest episode of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money, the podcast hosted by Anna Sale. And Anna's with me. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Todd.
I am one of the people who lives alone by choice. Eventually, I hope I'll live with somebody else. But right now, it's me and my cat, and we do just fine. And I really like it. I'm there. I'm doing it because I want to.
Well, Todd, you are on trend. That's what the Census Bureau says in the U.S., because that's what's happening in part is young men and women are delaying first marriage. And that's why we're seeing this increasing number of single-person households. One person I talked to who represented this is a woman named Ashley Ward. She lives in Los Angeles. And she talked about what it was like to move from having roommates to having a place all her own.
You know, whenever you're little and you're wearing your mom's shoes, mm-hmm. like it felt like that. Like you don't fill out the shoe or the apartment at all, but like here you are pretending like you do.
And then, Anna, you know, the other side of that, once you grow into the shoe, is that you've worn the shoe for so long that it fits just perfectly and you don't want anyone tying it for you, you know?
That's something else I heard is for people who live alone after not living alone for a long time, what that transition is like. I heard from a guy named Waleed Shantour who lives in Ithaca, New York, and he was married for a long time. And he's actually representative of the trends because women have historically lived alone at higher rates than men. But that gap is shrinking. Here's his story.
After my wife came out to me, I was quite devastated because my daughter left for college the same day that my wife moved out of the house. So all of a sudden, after all those years, I was alone. I would have to say that I was in a funk for a good part of 6 months to a year. Then I started realizing how satisfying it was living alone.
You must have confronted a lot of that, people in transition from the idea of loneliness, which is different from being alone, to the idea of the utter independence and do what you want-ism of living all by yourself, everything from making eggs naked to just having control over your own time and your own space.
And often both of those feelings happened in the same households. I talked to a woman named Arlene Pickett, and she's 70 years old. She lives in Denver, and her husband died 4 years ago. So she lived alone for the first time in her 60s. And she talked about, at first, it was like, wow, I can make every decision totally on my own. I am in charge in a way I've never been in charge in my life. And that felt great. And then she got sick. She was diagnosed with cancer in January and then had to go through chemo and then felt alone in a way that didn't feel comfortable. Here's how she described that.
Part of me kind of wonders, you know, is this what it's going to be like? Am I going to be one of these elderly people you read about that's all by himself or all by herself and nobody checks in, nobody calls, and then something happens? That kind of weighs on my mind.
There's a tension here, Anna, it strikes me, not only between what I mentioned, like the independence of making eggs all naked if you want to do that, but also the notion of having to be taken care of. It's a little bit antiquated. It can be sexist in a way. On the other hand, we're all people. We're social creatures. And yeah, sometimes we do need to be taken care of. There's a real tension there.
There's a real tension, and in that there are stories about what are the social networks that you create for yourself when you do live alone? Who are the people that you call when you feel a little nervous about the sound you're hearing outside of the window? Who are the people you go on walks with every day to feel connected? I heard all kinds of those stories. One woman I talked to who was right in this interesting transition place is a woman named Lisa Wagner. She's in her early 40s. She's never lived alone, but she is on the verge of it. Her youngest daughter is about to leave for school, and she cannot wait to live alone for the first time. Lisa just got divorced 3 years ago, and she described what she did when she had her bedroom all to herself.
I felt like I worked really hard and earned a lot of money and came home to a house that wasn't really pleasant, and I was frustrated with that. The night after we had that final fight and we decided to separate, I couldn't sleep, and I lay in bed and I started imagining how I was going to fix up the bedroom once it was just mine. And it got me through.
Now, Lisa was going to take control of the space, literally.
And she did. She describes polishing the floors, doing new caulking, putting a shelf in her closet just for scarves because she has a lot of scarves. So these stories really reveal, like, what happens when all of a sudden you get to create the space that's all your own, and then the trade-offs of that.
You know, before we go, Anna Sale, when I was reading all about your segment on death, sex, and money, it, for me, just reminded me of Liz Lemon on 30 Rock. Tina Fey did this perfectly. Liz Lemon was terrified of dying alone at home, choking on a fish stick, and no one would ever know until a week later when they smelled the smell coming from her apartment because she lives alone. She, I think, eventually did choke on a fish stick and had to give herself the Heimlich maneuver on the kitchen counter.
Well, I don't want to end on that note. Todd, I also want to say the other thing that hearing these stories of people who've lived alone at all different stages of their lives, that it's a time when you're all by yourself, you find the ways that you comfort yourself. So it's not just all doing the Heimlich on kitchen counters.
A time to know yourself better.
A time to know yourself better in a really important way.
Oh, we could all be so lucky. I'm glad that I'm not alone in the studio, Anna Sale. I'm glad that you're here to walk us through this. Anna Sale is host of WNYC's Death, Sex, and Money. You can hear the latest episode on people who live alone. Find it at deathsexmoney.org. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Todd.